But as it turned out, I prepared a devotion for today, and I'm not actually supposed to be giving a team a devotion today because they're all going to churches this morning. So it turned out this one was just for you anyway. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Dear God, we just pray that you'll be here among us, that as your word is spoken, as we read from your word, that we will hear you speaking to us. We just pray that we will be reminded through all that we look at, whenever we come to your word, of the greatness of who you are and the greatness of what you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're looking at Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. And apart from maybe John 3:16, this is probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of this estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But before he even finished his pre-prepared speech, the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And that was where Jesus left the story. Our theme for this afternoon down at the river is God welcomes. Those two words alone are powerful words. They're inviting words, but they're scandalous words. That was what the the passage from today, which we'll be doing a drama on this afternoon, that's what it's all about. It captures the scandal of the fact that God welcomes those who don't really deserve it on the surface. Today, we're looking at the lost son, the prodigal son. Like I said, one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, because it's one of the most powerful images of God's love and God's forgiveness. And for a lot of you, it's probably not a lot that I'll say about it today that's completely new to you, but I hope that it'll be a timely reminder and an encouragement of just how much God loves us. And sometimes when we become familiar with a story like this, we can begin to miss the unexpectedness in it. We can miss how unusual aspects of it are. And we always call this the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son. But it's a parable of two sons. Both sons are important. And it's a parable about their father. Right from the beginning, Jesus emphasizes the two sons. There was a man who had two sons. And then he focuses on the first, the lost son, for a while. But in the last part of the story, he brings it back to the other son. Now, the one, the prodigal son, famously asks for his share of the inheritance. He asks his dad to divide up his estate now, while he's still alive, divide everything he has between his two sons. And then the son decides he wants all of his dad's things without his dad. He doesn't want to have his share of the farm so he can stay there and take some responsibility for it and work it alongside his father. He wants it so he can sell it and go off and party and party and party and party a little bit more. And he doesn't want the father, just his things. But then the two disasters fall on the prodigal son. Number one, he runs out of money. Now that's not a great thing to have happen to you at any time. But also when he ran out of money, there was a severe famine in the whole country. There wasn't really any room for charity, for people to help him out, for people to support him. He had to go and get a job. And, you know, that might not be so bad in itself, but he had to go and get a job raising pigs. And we're not Jews, like the people that Jesus first told this story to. So we're just, all right, yep, so he has to feed the pigs. But, you know, if there was a list of jobs that Jews would like to do and Jews would not like to do, feeding pigs would be on the very bottom of the list. Washing out chamber pots and sweeping the streets would probably be higher on the list than feeding pigs. And he's so hungry, he wants the pigs' food. Life has not turned out the way that he thought it would. And sometimes it takes those times in life where everything falls apart, where the wheels fall off, where things haven't turned out the way that we thought they would, for us to come to our senses. And that's exactly what Jesus said when he came to his senses. He realized that his dad's workers have it better than this. Let alone, you know, forget about when he was the son and got all of the best things from the estate, but even the workers got it better than he did. So he should go home. He'd obviously forfeited his right to be a son. He'd already got all of his just, you know, all that he could claim as a son, and he'd taken it and he'd squandered it, and it was gone. And he couldn't expect his dad to welcome him home with open arms, surely. I mean, not after he'd run out on him and wanted nothing more to do with him. And so he comes up with this whole speech. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired hands, like your hired servants. And he figures, well, at least it's worth a shot. And he heads off to his father. And he receives a far more extravagant welcome than he could ever have expected. The father sees him coming at a distance, and he runs to greet him. Now, older Jewish men, they didn't run. Running wasn't dignified. It wasn't befitting of your status as an elder in the society. You don't run. You know, maybe if, you know, a bull is chasing you, you might run. But apart from that, you don't run. The father ran when he saw his son. He didn't let him finish his whole speech about how he just wanted to be a servant. But he embraced him and he kissed him. And he got the servants to bring out all of these things for him, a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Now, in the ancient world, a lot of the time, the slaves, the servants, they were barefoot. And that was kind of a sign of their servitude. But the family, they got shoes. Now, I'm not saying that was necessarily a great way to do things and that it was necessarily great to have slaves and things at all. But the picture is that Jesus is using here is that although he has absolutely no right to be treated as a son, he'd forfeited all of that by squandering everything that he had claimed to as a son. He was treated as a son anyway. The father runs and he celebrates. And he said, and we'll look at the older brother in a minute, but when he was talking to the older brother, he said, it was necessary. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, Jesus, obviously, he was telling this story not about a particularly generous farmer in his part of Israel at the time he was going around and teaching. The Father is God. And the Son, the one who went astray, are the sinners and the tax collectors, the people that Jesus was being criticized for showing love to. And his response is, how can I not when the Father loves them? Despite all that they have done, when they come to their senses and they come back home, how can God not love them? Because that's the character of God. And it's hope for all of us who have gone astray, all of us who have lived life our own way. We might not have gone quite to the level of extravagance of the son, of blowing all his money in wild living. But we've all gone our own way and we've all turned our back on God. And I think a lot of us have this perception that maybe we can come back to God, maybe if we grovel enough, maybe if we do enough to show that we're worthy of having a place in his family, or not even in his family, as one of his servants. Maybe if we do enough good things for God, maybe if we give the church enough money, maybe if we pray enough and read the Bible enough, maybe, just maybe, God will condescend to grudgingly allow us to be a servant. But Jesus says to those who have realized that the world's way is not what it promised to be, who have realized that we need our Father, that when we return, disheveled, scrappy, malnourished, with no shoes on our feet like the son, he doesn't demand that we have to clean ourselves up and then maybe he'll give us a bed in the servants' quarters. He runs to us and embraces us and makes us part of the family. But then there's the older son. Now, if we turn back just a little bit in the Bible, if we turn back to the start of chapter 15, we see the point that Jesus was getting at with this parable even more. He told three parables in a row: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then the one we've just looked at, the lost son. At the start of chapter 15, it says this: "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." They'd returned to their father. "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. He considers them his equal.'" That's what sharing your table meant in the ancient world. "He is putting himself on their level." When we know that's the context that Jesus was saying this parable in, it becomes pretty clear who the older son is, isn't it? Who isn't happy to see their lost brother return home. The older brother comes back into the story after after the celebration has started and the feasting. And the older son is there scandalized that God would love these sinners. They never ran off. He's worked hard. And yet he gives himself away a little bit in something that he says. "I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." Now, at the start of the story, we saw that the father had divided his property among his sons. The older son already had his share of the property. The older son was going to inherit everything that was left. The older son was, being taught by his father everything that he knew. And yet his attitude was, "I have been slaving away." Not, "You have given me everything you own, but you've been keeping me from the things I really want to do, and I just have to stay here and slave away because it's the right thing to do." And so the older brother refuses to come into the party. And the thing is, the father comes to welcome him in too. Just as he welcomed the son back, he went out to the older son who wouldn't come into the party, and he pleaded with him. He pleaded with him, "Your brother has returned." But the older brother, he won't even call him his brother. "When this son of yours," he's completely disowned him. Not "my brother came home." "When this son of yours has squandered your property, you kill the fattened calf for him?" And God reminds him, "My son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours," just a little reminder that he is your brother, "was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." And that's where the parable ends. We don't know whether the older brother came into the party or not, because Jesus gave that parable to the Pharisees. And that was the question at the end of the story. Will you give up your pride and your thinking that you're better than this other son who had run off, and just be glad that he is saved? Be glad that these sinners and tax collectors are coming and hearing the word of God. And Jesus left it open, because it was a question to the Pharisees: will you come in or will you stay outside of God's blessing, outside of the party that he is throwing? It's a beautiful parable. We see that God welcomes the lost and the selfish children who turn their backs on him. And I think all of us, we see ourselves in the lost son, loved beyond what we have any right to be. We praise God that he doesn't treat us as we deserve. But we see God also welcomes the proud, the unforgiving older sons who forget the love that their father has shown them. They see their father as a harsh slave driver and aren't very charitable towards those who have gone astray and been saved. Now, I don't know that we've got any full-on Pharisees here in this church, but do you see maybe just a little bit of yourself in the older brother sometimes? I know I do. I know in every ministry, there's always people who take a little bit of extra love, a little bit of extra grace. We have our mentoring program we do here in the schools. And let me tell you, the schools don't recommend the easy kids to come and be a part of the mentoring program. It's the ones who need the extra help, the ones who need the extra love. And sometimes just a little bit of that heart of the older brother can peek out in us as we might find it harder to show those people the love and the grace that God would show them. When we serve God faithfully, he brings all sorts of people to us. Some will be delightful and easy, and some won't be. But God loves them all. And we can too, when we remember that they're not this son of yours. They're our brothers and sisters. Remember that we needed grace too. And it's pretty hard to look down on anybody else when we remember that God has treated us far better than we deserve. So, that's the beautiful thing. Whoever you are, the younger brother who's gone astray, the older brother that's just let that bit of pride and self-righteousness creep into the heart, God welcomes anyone who will come to him in faith. He continues to welcome us. It's not even just a one-time thing that as a son who's gone astray, we get one shot to come back to God. But heaven help you if you ever get anything wrong again. But the Christian life is a life of continually turning back to God and saying, I got that wrong. I'm sorry. Please help me. And thank you that you love me more than I deserve. We don't have just the one chance to return to the warm and loving welcome of God. God welcomes us every day when we come to him for the love that we could never deserve. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this beautiful picture that Jesus gave us of what God's love actually looks like. That God's love is not something that is earned but given. And God's love is shown to all if we'll only receive his love and go in and join the party. We just pray that you will help us to remember in all things that you have loved us more than we can possibly know and more than we could ever deserve. And that we can show that same sort of love to other people, not just according to what they deserve, but according to the riches of your grace. Please help us to be a people who know your love in our hearts so well that we can do what seems impossible and show that amount of love to others. In Jesus' name, amen.